Perek Dalet of Eicha contains 22 psukim, corresponding to the 22 letters of the alephbeis. And each pasuk is connected to its corresponding letter. So, for example, the first pasuk aleph begins with an aleph, Eicha, Yuam, Zahav. The second pasuk begins with a beis, Vnei Tziona, Yikarim. The third with a gimel, Gam, Tanim, and so on and so forth. In terms of the structure of the parak itself, it would appear in the beginning as a description of the Jewish people, their fall from grace, how terrible things have become for the Jewish people, how depraved they become. Going further along, there's a recognition of our own wrongdoing. There's a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger as being the reason why the Jewish people have fallen. And the parak continues with the perspective of the surrounding nations, the result of the punishment of the Chorban Habayis, and eventually towards the end there is some type of prophetic vision towards the future, and it seems that the parak does end with somewhat of a glimmer of hope. What I'd like to do is read some of the psukim inside, perhaps analyze some of them with their mefarshim, hopefully gain a deeper insight and appreciation for what the parak is here to teach us, and take the messages out of the parak as Yirmiyahu HaNavi intended. Well, we're going to start from the beginning. The first two psukim have a very interesting way of describing the Jewish people, or at least what they're compared to. The first pasuk says, Ichad, Yuam, Zahav, Yishna, Kasem, Atov, Tishtapechna, Avne, Kodesh, Barosh, Kol, Chutzos, that the Jewish people are considered like gold, and they unfortunately become dimmed, their appearance has changed, and their holy stones have been scattered all over the place. The next pasuk, B'nei Tziona Yikarim, Amisulim, B'paz, Icha, Nechshavu, Limnei Cheres, Masa Yidei Yotzer. The Jewish people used to be considered like Zahav, once again, like gold, but now they're treated, or at least viewed, like cheres, earthenware, in the hands of a craftsman, in the hands of a potter. And it's very interesting that the Jewish people are considered to be Zahav. What is that referring to? Obviously, if you read the rest of the Kina and see where the downfall was, that it refers not just to the spirituality of the Jewish people, which I think we could all understand as being the reason for the Chorban Habayis, but it's also describing the physical reality of the Jewish people as well. That both when it comes to our physical and spiritual heights that the Jewish people once achieved, they were gold. They were the top. They were the creme de la creme. They were the greatest, as gold is considered the greatest metal that we know. And unfortunately, they've become dimmed. Their appearance has changed. Because of the Chorban Habayis, they've fallen both physically and spiritually. What the Medrash and Rashi point out, which is something very interesting, is that, and this is an important idea, that despite the fact that things have happened to the Jewish people, and they have fallen from grace, so to speak, nevertheless, inherently, what are they? They're considered Zahav, they're considered gold. The gold may have been dimmed, the gold may have been discolored, but still inherently, they still contain this greatness, both in terms of their spiritual character and as well as their physical capabilities. And I think that's a very important yisod going forward as we read some of the terrible things and seeming moral shortcomings of the Jewish people. As we continue in the psukim, the next pasuk gimel, tells us something very interesting. Gam tanin chaltsu shad hiniku gurehen basami la'achzar kei inim b'midbar. That a tanin, says Yirmiyahu, a tanin, it's unclear exactly what a tanin means. It's machlokas in the mefarshim. It may be referring to a jackal or some type of sea creature, but either such way, it is some type of cruel animal. Yet the cruelty of this animal has this inherent motherly instinct to care for its young, to make sure that its young receives the proper nutrients and nourishment. And yet, what this pasuk is telling us, they are greater than the Jewish mothers. Why? Because the Jewish mothers unfortunately put their own physical needs before the needs of their children. And they put their own hunger above and beyond that hunger of their own offspring. And that is something which is so incredibly cruel. This reminds us of the pasuk later on, which is a kina that we actually say on Tisha B'Av, If you look in Pasuk Yud, it says, Yidei Nashim Rachmaniyos Bishlu Yaldehen. Hayu Levoris Lama B'Shever Basami, that women used to go ahead and actually cook their children in order to feed themselves, because the hunger was so radical, the hunger was so debilitating, that they went even as far, a mother who was supposed to be filled with Rachmanios, filled with mercy, went ahead and cooked their children in order to eat from them. And this is one of the most horrifying and disturbing images that one can think of. And this shows you how far the Jewish people have fallen, both spiritually and morally. And this is why I think it's very important that we remember the beginning part of the first two psukim of this parak, Eicha Yom Zahav. It's true that we were dimmed, but we're still Zahav. These moral failings are not inherent or intrinsic to the Jewish people, but these are things which dimmed us. These are things which have caused us to go astray. But Be'etzev, in terms of the mohus, the essence of the Jewish person and the Jewish mother, there's certainly going to be rachmanios, there are going to be people who are filled with mercy and compassion, wanting to go and help out their children, no matter what the situation may be. Going on in Pasuk Vav, it's a very important Pasuk. It tells us, Vayigdal avon basemi michatas sdom, hafucha kmo raga, volo chalu vayadayim. That the Pasuk tells us that our sin must have been worse than Sodom. And we know that Sodom is the paradigm of all terrible places, of all wicked and evil. We know the Gemara, Bava Kama, Kofin al Midas Sodom, right? Zenen of Zilachaser, that Sodom represents, in the eyes of the Jewish people, the most wicked place. Yet, what we say is that our sin must have been worse than Sodom's. Why would it be worse than Sodom's? Because Sodom was destroyed, if we remember, in but a moment, right? It didn't take so long for its destruction to happen. But the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was a long process. It took a tremendous amount of time. It inflicted a tremendous amount of suffering on the inhabitants of Yerushalayim and of all Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, there's a certain appreciation here, and this is an important yesod, that even though we may not be sure exactly what we did wrong or why we did wrong, but it's clear to us that we did something terrible, and not only it's terrible, we could infer from there that they were even worse than Sodom, because our punishment was worse than that of Sodom. And that's an important idea of cheshbon ha-nefesh. It's an important idea of tzedek ha-din, recognizing that if something as bad is happening to us, then it must be coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tzaddikim always remember this, or understood this. There's a tshuva by Rav Moshe, where Rav Moshe writes in the beginning of the tshuva that this was a Devar Torah that he said at the bris of his oldest son, Pesach Feinstein, who actually died at a young age. And Rav Moshe writes in the Hagdama to that tshuva in Igros Moshe, that our son who was taken from us because of our sins. And if we think of, you know, the greatest tzaddikim, talmidei chachamim, Jewish leaders of the past generation, Rav Moshe is certainly at the top of the list. Yet when something terrible happened to him, a tragedy befell him, he did not point to other people. He didn't question HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he felt that it must have been because of some shortcoming that happened in his own life. And we see that very clearly as what Yirmiyahu was telling us, that our sin must have been even worse than that of Sodom. That's why we suffered even greater. And this is actually consistent with a very beautiful insight on a very famous pasuk, Pasuk Tes. In Pasuk Tes, the Yirmiyahu tells us, Tovim hayu chalei cherem michalei rav, sheheim yazuvu midakarim mitenuvos sadai. That those who were killed via the sword were better off than those who were killed due to famine. This is a pasuk which is actually darshan in the Gemara in Baba Basra, saying how famine is the worst of all suffering that a person can endure. But either such way, there's an interesting machlokas a mefarshim how to understand the pasuk. The simple understanding is tovim hayu chalichar michalei rav, that those who died via the sword, they were better off because they suffered less, and therefore the suffering that they endured wasn't as bad as those who were famished and those who had to endure the poverty or had to endure the hunger. However, some of the mefarshim say, "No, tovim hayu chalichar michalei rav is tovim, that those who died of the sword were better. They were better people. they didn't have as many sins as those who died via hunger and starvation. Why? How do we know that to be the case? Because if they died in a quick manner, it must be that they didn't need that type of punishment to the same degree as somebody who died via famine. And therefore, it's the same type of idea. It's very similar and consistent with what we said before, that Vayigdal Avon Basami Michatas Sodom, that there was an understanding that our sins were even worse than that of Sodom. Tovim Hayu Chali Cherev Michali Rav, those who died with the Cherev were better, and that's why they got a quicker death. In Pasuk Yud, we've already mentioned this as a woman about cooking their children. Just important to point out that many of the Mefarshim believe it wasn't like these women cooked their children alive. It was after they died, they were so hungry that they consumed what was left of their child's body. It doesn't make it any worse. It may make it any better, rather. But it's certainly something to keep in mind when reading this kina. Moving on to Pasuk Yud Aleph, we finally recognize that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's so angry at the Jewish people. Kila Hashem es chamaso, shafach haron apo, v'yatzes esh b'tziyom, v'tachal yisod osa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent forth this esh, this fire which consumed everything that was wrong, consumed the Jewish people at its foundation. Why? And it was such a shock to the rest of the world. Lo haminu ma'achei eretz, in Pasuk Yud Beis, v'chol yoshvei sevel, ki avot tsar v'yeh b'sharei Yushalayim. Who could think it was possible that people could enter into the Shar Yushalayim? The surrounding nations were dumbfounded, and the Mefarshim explained that maybe this has to do with the times of Sancheirev, when they were unable to go ahead and overtake the Jewish people. Either such way, people were shocked. They thought the fortified city of Yushalayim, the area where the Shechina was, the Bakum HaMikdash, how could it be that people were able to overcome? And the answer to that question is actually the next pasuk, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Mechatos Neviyah Vonos Kohanah Shofchem Bekirbah Dam Tzadikim. It was because of the sins of the Neviyim and the Kohanim. And this is clearly referring to not the Kohanim and the Neviyim who were Neviyei Emes, or the Kohanim who were Tzadikim, but this is referring to those who are Rishayim and the Neviyei Sheker, constantly advocating the Jewish people that all was going to be okay, that they could very easily ignore the warnings of Yirmiyahu to repent, to do Cheshbon HaNefesh, telling the rest of the world as well as the Jewish people there's no way HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to destroy his own house. It's an impossibility. God wouldn't do such a thing, and therefore there's no need to concern yourself with introspection or trying to fix your ways. And it was due to this complacency, it was due to this ignoring of the Devar Hashem that led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It's important for us to recognize that these Nevi'ei Shekar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already tells us in the Torah that He's sending them in order to test us, to see whether we'll be faithful to His word, and not just be somech on what we think is right, but actually do this introspection in order to constantly become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the next pasuk, tragic result. Na'u ivrim b'chutzos negalu b'dam b'lo yichlu yigo b'levusheihem. The Jewish people were like blind. They were blind. They were wandering through the streets filled with defiled and filled with blood. People that touched their garments, nobody wants to touch them. The next pasuk, suru tamei. Shafted aside, move away, get away from us. Karu, lamu, suru, suru. Atiku, nobody wanted to touch us because we were so defiled and dirty from the blood of walking the streets of Yushalayim, the corpse, the blood that was the utter destruction of the Jewish people. I think it's possible, perhaps, that also maybe another explanation to what Pasuk Yud Aleph is referring to, these blind people were filled with the dam. It may be referring to the status and perspective of the Jewish people who experience the Chorban. They may have thought to themselves that they believed the Nevi'ei Sheker. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never destroy the Beis HaMikdash. It's His own house. As long as we keep on paying Him off, we'll send Korbanos without actually caring to come close, Karov LaHashem. And basically, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we were blinded by it. We were blind. We couldn't understand it. It was a complete radical change in perspective. And we had all this blood on us, all this stain, all this tumah. and we were blind to our own sins. And maybe that is the deeper yisod of this blind person who's walking around filled with dam, who's so tummy that people are telling them to go away. If a person is not going to engage in introspection, is going to be honest with themselves, they can make themselves blind to their own shortcomings, to their own failures. And that's unfortunately what happened to the Jewish people during the times of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. That's what brought upon their downfall. Towards the end, if we jump to Pasuk Chaf, or rather Pasuk Yates, what it says is, Kalam Hayu Rufeinu Minishrei Shamayim Ala Aram Delaknu B'Minmar Arvu Lanu, that our enemy came and pursued us. They were so swift, just as swift as an eagle. Pasuk Chaf Ruach Apeinu Mashiach Hashem Nilkad B'Shichu Sosam Asher Amarnu B'Tzilu Nichya B'Goyim. The Mashiach Hashem, this is referring to Yoshiyahu, the Mefarshim explained, was killed out in battle with arrows because he thought that he rid the entire Jewish people of Avodah Zarah, and unfortunately he was mistaken. And there's a whole entire keen about this as well, and he was pelted with arrows, and he ends up dying, and this is another tragic element of the Chorban. A great king like Yoshiyahu, who's actually, the Medrash compares to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's how great he was in terms of his leadership. And this, unfortunately, after he died, it brought upon and hastened the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Towards the end, Sisi v'Simchi Bas Edom, the daughters of Edom are going to rejoice, they're going to celebrate. Yoshev Sai v'Eretz Utz Gam Alayach Ta'avor Kos Tishkari V'Sisari. What's going to happen? The daughters of Edom are going to rejoice. They're going to be super happy. They're going to be enthusiastic about the downfall of the Jewish people. Yet, that won't last for long. They too will drink from a cup and eventually they will have to vomit as well. What is this referring to? It's very difficult to understand because, as we all know, the first Beis HaMikdash is when this was written, prophesizing the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. That was by Bavel, it wasn't by Edom. Edom only destroys the second Beis HaMikdash. So some of the Mefarshim explained that this is actually a Nevuah, referring to the future, that referring to the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, something which Yirmiyahu was prophesizing even during the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. But perhaps another explanation could just be that we know that Edom, Esav, is our mortal enemy, and that when we are riding high, when we are successful, they are down, and when we are down, then they are up. And perhaps that's going to be the rejoicing of Edom, our eternal struggle with Esav. They're going to enjoy the fact that they are finally on top. But there is a glimmer of hope. This won't last for long. They will drink from this cup in order to enjoy it, but eventually they too will vomit. They too will not be able to sustain this type of excitement. And lastly, the last pasuk, Tam avoneich bat Zion, lo yosif, lagloseich, pakad avoneich bat Adom, gila al chatoseich. What's going to happen? We have finished the sins of the Jewish people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, lo yosif ligloseich. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to continue to put you into galus. It won't happen again. It won't happen. And more than that, he will remember the sins of Edom. He will remember the sins of Rome. He will remember the sins of our enemy, our eternal enemy, Esav. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu uncovers his sins, the sins of Edom, then that will be the beginning to our ascent, our beginning to return back to Yerushalayim, our ability to return back to the place where we need to be. And therefore, I think the bookends of this perek, starting with Echa Yom Zahav, starting with the fact that the Jewish people we know are inherently like gold, and that is intrinsic to who we are, even if it may have been dimmed, is reinforced by the end pasuk. That even though that we explained, Sisi v'simchi bas Edom, Edom will rejoice, Edom will be so happy about our downfall and their ascent, nevertheless that will not last forever, because eventually our sins and our punishment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, time is up, you have served your time. And now it's time to focus on Edom, and that will be the beginning of our ascension back to a place of prominence where the gold is no longer dimmed, but it's shining as bright as can be, and that it will hopefully lead to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, b'mheira b'yameinu.